And that's pretty much it. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning, Leah.
Good morning. We are here with this new episode of Real Talk. And I've been chasing this guest star for so long that I had to go and book myself in a pre-booking book.
You're too kind, Leah.
Good morning, Peter.
Good morning, mate. How are
you? How are you?
Yeah, very well, thank you.
So, in real talk, like, you've never been in this space, so...
No.
But it's a podcast that talks about real estate, and talks about the behind the scenes. Mm-hmm. So, we are here, all the people that are listening, they are thinking in going into real estate, they are simply people that want to know more, why we are the people that we are, like, mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So... The first thing that I wanted to do is, first of all, introduce yourself, and then for you listening, I'm going to tell you why I invited this guy over here. So, who are you?
Well, thanks, Leo. Peter Stone is my name, and I've been working this area for about 16 years, since I moved up from Sydney.
What area? This area in...
The southeast. I started my real estate career in Bulimba, down in Oxford Street, in a little independent office. And ever since, I've been working sort of here to the Bayside. Reason I moved from Sydney was to have a better lifestyle. Really never looked back ever since. I think you hit the nail on the head. You know, for me, it really is all about the people. We get very, very caught up in property values and marketplaces and so forth. At the end of the day, I find that the vast majority of people buy and sell real estate because of the things that are very, very important to them. And although that often is centered around money, it really is about what that will do for them or their family or things that they get up to, on the weekends and that type of idea.
What makes you wake up every morning being like, okay, I'm doing the most amazing job in the world? What is the drive that is pushing you for 15 years to wake up every morning and then be like, okay, you know what? I'm lucky.
I just get to connect with so many fantastic people. I think if social media has taught us anything, that we all want to connect, you know, quite desperately with other human beings. We all want to share our stories and we all want to be part of other people's stories. And I get to be part of... really the most integral part of people's lives. I get to see their dreams come true. I get to help make them come true. And they share with me so much more information than you get from people when you touch base at a pub or a club or even sometimes sitting around with friends. You really get to have some fairly serious conversations with some really interesting people.
So I think that the reason why I'm always attracted by, you know, people like you is because I can see that for you it's not a job. I can see that for you, and actually, like, I feel like I have the same feeling. For me, it's a lifestyle. Like, it's one of those that you hate, but then when you don't do it, you're like, I want to be part of it. Like, I can't believe I'm not doing it. I don't know, like, what's your take on this kind of feeling?
Yeah, look, you almost don't even think about it so much in that it is just part of who I am now. Sometimes to the frustration of my wife, you know, because she's very tolerant and deals with a heck of a lot of stuff, because I can be out at 9-10 o'clock at night negotiating contracts. And it's just because I don't really think about that time.
Yeah, and it's the other weird part of our job is that people don't understand that probably it's at the top 10 of the most stressful jobs in the world. Like, you know, considering, like, you know, that I'm not putting it in the same category as like a surgeon that is saving a life, but we are in the, you know, in the middle of like a seller or a buyer or like the law sometimes. So, you know, we have a huge amount of stress. And why I'm talking about it It's just because the other day we had an interesting conversation. Now, I just started, like, compared to you, 3 years ago. We had, like, this interesting conversation of stress management. And do you want to talk about it? Like, what is your secret? You always look so centered. You always look so in peace with the world.
Ah, well, you've probably caught me at good times, Leo. You know? but I've learned over the course of 16 odd years that you've got to have techniques to manage. Now, for me, meditation keeps me centered. So I'm up every morning, you know, 5 o'clock, 5:30 in the morning, and I take 45 minutes or thereabouts to just have my quiet time to meditate and to get my head straight for the day. And that's helped me manage stress. When you're dealing with buyers and sellers who are, you know, in heightened states of stress, where you have to be empathetic and understand both sides of that equation. And I think that one of the things we do very, very well as salespeople is that we do empathize, we do understand. It's part of the ability to bring two parties together. So we need to have that ability to do it without getting too attached to it, because otherwise we become part of the equation ourselves and part of the problem. So
now, is that something that you learned or something that you always had?
Oh, definitely something that I learned.
Okay.
When I first started, you know, in the middle of a negotiation, I would be highly stressed.
But we are talking about, like, highly stressed, like, right?
Highly stressed.
I hear you.
And I realised that that wasn't doing my clients any favours, and that I had to be the one that could see things, you know, from a more practical standpoint, so that I could help guide them through the process.
So now, you guys listening, like, the people are at the gym or doing, like, you know, driving home, having, like, listen to this random, like, show on real estate and related, you guys listening understand why I want to hang out with this guy. Look at him. Like, I am, like, overventilating. Like, I'm over... This guy is... I want to say, like, I want to make a joke, but is calm like a stone. Like...
Well.
And he's got so many ideas. Tell me more about your number plate. That is actually very iconic at the moment.
Well, I'm doing what I can to brand that. That was just something a little bit cheeky. I had a search for a lot of different license plates, and I found finally, after, you know, some searching, that 550LDD was available. It's got some strange looks, but certainly it's got some good looks from people in the industry, and it's certainly a talking point for the buyers and sellers. And I've now turned that into my sold sticker and a little bit of personal branding.
It's all about talking points, eh?
Well, I think also it's all about being a little bit different and being able to approach each and every situation a little bit differently as well. I think a lot of people in the industry have got jaded or expect that it's got to be a particular way. Sometimes finding a way around a certain issue is the way to the solution.
You know what made me think about that specific number plate? By the way, you're going to be set up when you're going to be 55 years old. You thought about it. 55 old. Anyway, makes me think about you already look like a very, very high professional, like very highly regarded professional, but makes you approachable. Like, that little tweak, that little, like, quirkiness, or that little, like, that is not even, like, over the top. Like, it's very, 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 like, perfect for your, like, it's most of the time what made me think, personally, he's a very approachable person. Because maybe sometimes what these professionals are, like, the risk is they probably look like they're untouchable. Like, it's probably difficult to do. They're so good at their job that they are not approachable. What do you think?
Look, people like to work with people they like. So I think that it's very important to be approachable. When buyers, we work with so many different types of buyers. We work with very strong buyer personalities sometimes, and then we can work with very, very timid first home buyers. We have to be a bit of a chameleon with people, and we have to be able to speak to all those different kinds of people. And part of that, I think, is to be very genuine, because if you can get that out of the way, and if there can be a level of trust, then everything else can be built on that. I think that when people feel like you are trying to sell them or push them or influence them in a way, you can create resistance.
What is your take on new technology? Because you seems to me like one of those people that pretty much likes to test it before using it. Like, you look like one of those people that you go towards like the most trusted system. So what's your take, your approach on social media? For example, I saw that you guys at the moment, you're going very, very well in creating and approaching that system. Tell us more about it.
Well, I'm probably investing more time than ever before in social media, because it really is a non-negotiable. You have to embrace new technology as it comes up. At the same time, I think you have to take care to make sure that you continue to do the things that work and the things that always work. Once again, it really is all about the people. So we need to use the tools to connect with them. But also got to be careful. I think that there has been a movement to use social media instead of direct communication. And direct communication is still always going to be the most authentic mode of communication. And I think the thing that maybe even some people are crying out for more and more these days, because they can get a little bit lost in social media, whereas there's nothing better, nothing more genuine than looking at somebody face to face or smiling at them. You can't convey that as well with, you know, emojis and...
I believe that my take on social media, you know what we're doing, like, you know, it's a experimentation every day. I believe that social media, it's the new flyering. I believe that social media, if used in the right way, can be used as a vehicle to directly talk to these people. So, in a way, like, in a world that, and it's gonna be like overused, because this is what marketing people do. This is what we do all the time. We overuse stuff. Before was one flyer a month. Now it's one flyer a week. And then you go to this letterbox, and then you see like this books of real estate agents. So I believe that if we could potentially cut through the secrets of like the social media and cracking the code, probably we could use it on our advantage.
Well, absolutely. And I think that in all marketing, that's the challenge, isn't it? It's cutting through. And social media has that ability, and it has that ability to connect to millions and millions of people. It also has the ability to bombard them with so much of the same stuff that I think finding smart ways to cut through is going to be the way that we stand out. So we're working on a couple of things at the moment. Yes, the personal promotion that I have around that license plate and that sort of different sold call or catch cry is one of them. There's something else that we will be launching within the next few days. I'm just waiting for a trademark to come through on that, because that will then be instrumental in standing us a little bit aside from the rest of
from,
the guys
from the business. Pack
from well from the pack and being something interesting to look at on social media in a sea of sort of just listed, just sold.
Have you always been so creative? What is your background? Like, how come you are very... Because, I have to admit it, like, in the office, you are one of those people that I'm looking at and you always look in something. I always try to do something different, but and then I see people, like, you know, of course, like looking at each other, but I can see that you are always taking your take on things.
Yeah, I don't know, I'm probably a bit of a closet extrovert, Leo, really. I was brought up in a family, my father was an actor, and I had a little bit of interest in that many, many years ago. That sort of thing, and the ability to be out and be heard, I suppose, is something that I enjoy, provided that it adds value to people's lives. But I think that you've got to have something decent to say. So although I'm happy to be out there on a platform talking, and particularly this is what real estate gives me, is I can be out there on a platform talking about your product, which I love to do. I'm there to promote somebody else's product because I believe in it and because I love it. But I'm also there to come up with nice ideas that I think are going to grab attention for.
Isn't it? It is attention, isn't it? It's
attention.
To be heard.
Oh, look, doesn't everybody want to be heard?
Yeah, correct.
This is why we post so much on social media. This is why we want everybody to understand our points of view. You know, have you ever sat down with somebody and they just won't let up on a particular point of view? We all want to be heard. We all want to be validated. And, hey, that's one of the challenges that we have. And it's also one of the things that links us. You know, if we can hear what our clients have got to say, if we can hear what the aspirations from the buyers are and really understand that, we connect on a completely different level.
But you're not one of those, every publicity, it's a good publicity. Like, you know, you are very selective what you do.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I've thought about a number of shock tactics, which have their place, but I don't know that it's in keeping. It's not congruent with who I am.
You know what I think is happening? People like you, and this is my take. So, for example, there are people like you and people like me. People like me in the beginning of the journey, because, you know, that's what it is. That's why people listen to the certain kind of people listen to us, because, you know, we are all in the same boat. Mm-hmm. So we don't have the people starting the journey. You know, make mistakes. We can, in a way, go experimental. We can, in a way, be a little bit more bold. And some people like you, for example, years in the industry with huge results, like top like 100 in Australia, like, you know, you guys are kind of, you were jailed into a way of how people look at you. So probably, like, if I could give you, like, you can give me 1,000 advices. I can give you probably one advice in this conversation is, I believe that if you have ideas, you should try. So, like, you know, try and because, you know, in the end, you have the right experience to make it work. It's not going to happen that you're going to make it not work, because you already know how to edit yourself. What do you reckon?
Look, I think you're spot on, and that is a part of the new push you'll see on Instagram and you'll see on Facebook very, very shortly. Some, I wouldn't call them radical ideas, but certainly very much out of the box.
Love radical. Love it. Anyway, thank you so much for coming through. Like, it's
Leo, thanks for having me, mate. Lovely to share some ideas with you.
You are so busy that I feel like I'm, like, you know, in front of the Pope.
Well, not sure the same category, mate, but I'd certainly appreciate the sentiment.
Anyway, thank you so much for coming.
Pleasure.
And you guys gonna listen to this podcast. We're gonna prepare it on every social platform, probably also on on your personal one.
Absolutely.
I'm daring
we'll share it. Absolutely.
Anyway, thank you for listening. Thank you for coming.
Thanks, Leo.
And we're gonna see or hear you guys soon. Ciao.
Bye bye.